Let me ask you, if you would, then, to find a copy of the New Testament and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let us begin with verse 25. Verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, these are the words of Jesus. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the lilies, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Why do you worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, verse 33 and verse 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Dave, give it up. If nearly right now, 50 years of ministry has taught me anything, it has taught me that anxiety, depression, and despondency is no respecter of person. These things are not limited to the unrighteous or the sinful. I'm saying to you this morning very clearly that worry and discouragement and the like is not limited to a specific race. It's not limited to a certain sex. It's not limited to a certain age group. It's not limited to a certain occupation. It's not limited to a certain level of income. But such things as anxiety, depression, discouragement, and the like, such things can come into our lives as a response to almost any problem of our lives. And when they do, they will zap the joy of your Christianity. Assuming today that this is an average congregation, and it is, then it is very safe to assume that there are several people under the sound of my voice right now who have a tendency to be down. Now understand that at some level, every one of us has to struggle with these things. At some level, every single one of us have to deal with the anxieties and the concerns and the drama of our lives. But though we all have to deal with these at some level, brethren, listen, none of us has to be overcome by these things. Now, very slowly and very carefully, let's look at Matthew 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is addressing a group of people who have become discouraged because of the physical problems in their lives. What are they worried about? Well, what are we going to eat? Well, what are we going to wear? And where are we going to stay and have shelter and sleep? Lord, how are we going to get by? Lord, how are we going to survive? These people are worried about these necessities of life. They're all up in the air and they're all walking on the ceiling because these physical problems, they've allowed them to overwhelm them. And so Jesus says to them here, and he says it clearly. He says, listen, you're worried about these physical problems of life. And Jesus says, listen, these are not the problems that ought to concern you. Did you hear me? These are not the things that ought to be overwhelming you. Because Jesus says in verse 33 and in verse 34, Jesus says, all of these things you've got yourself tied in a knot about, all of these things do not have to overcome you, and these things, you can overcome them if you will learn two things. First of all, in verse 33, Jesus says the way you overcome these physical anxieties about yourself, he says, learn to set your priorities in order. Now, I want us to look at verse 33, but I want us to see what's really said there. A lot of times we quote a scripture but don't know what it's saying. Look at verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Now look at the verse. Jesus said, seek. The word seek is in a present tense form.
What that means is Jesus said, listen, I want you to seek, and then I want you to keep seeking, and don't stop seeking. Well, seek what? He says, seek first. First is a priority. Brethren, listen carefully to me. First comes before everything else. Amen? First is what comes before everything else. He says, seek and keep on seeking. He says, seek first the kingdom. The expression there, kingdom or kingdom of God, is having reference to God's rule over your life. You and I need to be constantly and always seeking to allow God to rule our lives. Look, we don't decide where we go. We let God decide for us where we're going. We talk the way we talk because that's the way God wants us to talk. We dress the way we dress because that's the way God wants us to dress. We are to seek God's rule over my life. I have two places to go. I want to go to one of them. God wants me to go to the other one. I'm going where he wants me to go. His kingdom. God is in charge. Listen, you're not in charge. I mean in charge of you. You're not even the co-pilot. You need to get back in the back of the plane. His kingdom, look at the verse, and his righteousness. Now, this is very important. It is God who decides what's right and wrong. Culture doesn't decide what's right and wrong. The Supreme Court doesn't decide what's right and wrong. Congress and all the rest of them, they don't decide what's right and wrong. God decides what's right and wrong. Now watch what happens here. If I will constantly seek to have in my life above everything else that God rules over my life and that I base my morals and my right and wrong on God's word, look what he says next. He says that, look at it, all these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about what they're worrying about. All of these things is talking about, well, what are we gonna eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to sleep? How are we going to survive? How am I going to get by in all of this? Listen, if you seek those things first, Jesus says, all of these things, what? Will be given to you. Here's the statement. Seek spiritual things first, and then God's peace will rule in your heart. Seek spiritual things first, and then God's peace will rule in your heart. You don't have to be overwhelmed by life. You don't have to be worried by every little thing that walks down the street or comes into your life. The twofold solution to that, number one, in verse 33, is to get your priorities set in order. Now, the second thing, and this is the thing we're going to focus on. The second thing is in verse 34, and that's where I want all our attention from now to the end. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Listen, and I mean some of you need to listen real hard. The way that you deal with life's problems, the way that you deal with life's struggles, the way that you deal with life's hurt is to deal with them one day at a time. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Listen. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Now that's pretty plain language, but it's easy to understand. Jesus is saying here, listen, don't worry about what your life is going to be like 10 years from now. Don't worry about what your life is going to be like 10 months from now. Jesus is saying here, as plain as it can be said, Jesus is saying, look, you concentrate on today. Now listen to me. God gives us life in blocks of 24 hours. That's how we get life. That's how life comes to us. It comes to us one day at a time. Jesus is saying, listen, you concentrate, you put your effort, your energy, and your strength, just put it in today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live one day at a time. Now wait. This is a principle. One day at a time, this is a principle that Jesus talked about earlier in this very chapter. Go back up, Matthew 6, go back up to verse 9, but let me explain what's going on there. Jesus here is teaching. He's teaching us how to pray. This is not Jesus praying. This is Jesus telling you and me, here is how you pray. Verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Well, if I'm going to pray like anybody, I want to pray like Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Did you hear it? Talk to me. Do you see it? Jesus said, don't pray. Give us today our yearly bread. Right? Are you looking at it? Jesus didn't say, give us today our monthly bread. He didn't say, give us today our weekly bread. Lord, let us get a week ahead. But no. Give us today. He's teaching us to pray. He says, give us today our daily bread. What is he saying? He's saying, every day, pray to God. God, give me what I need today. God, help me through the roadblocks today. God, bless me today. God, help me with the problems and the situations today. Just bless me today. Jesus says that's how you ought to pray. That's how you ought to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. This principle, one day at a time, this principle, don't worry about tomorrow, this isn't something that started in Matthew 6. This principle, listen to me, live one day at a time, this was going on when the children of Israel was in the desert, the wilderness. In Exodus 16, Moses had led them out of Egypt. And now the children of Israel in Exodus 16, the children of Israel are worried about how they're going to get by. Well, what are we going to eat? When we were in Egypt, we could eat. And now you brought us out here. What in the world is going to happen to us now? So God instructs them. I'm going to give you manna from heaven. And it's going to fall every day. And in verse 4 of Exodus 16, they are told, you go out and get enough manna to sustain you for that day. Now, you know us. We took a wagon out there. Amen? Come on now. Amen? But God said, you go out there and get enough for today. Because if you get enough for more than one day, the next day, it's going to rot. It's not going to be any good. Well, what in the world is God saying? Brethren, God is saying, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm going to give you enough. I'm going to help you to get through today. And when tomorrow comes, I'm going to come back. Amen. Amen. One day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Now, let me say this, and then I'm going to explain this. Living one day at a time. Living one day at a time is the secret. That's the secret. You know, worrying about, oh, what am I going to do here and how are we going to do this? And, oh, what's going to happen then and what's going to happen here? Listen, the secret to eliminating all of that the devil puts in your mind, the secret is right here. Live one day at a time. And see, I'm hesitant to say that because it sounds too trite. You know, you got a major problem and somebody gibbers off some little line and like that's going to cure it. No, listen. The reason that one day at a time is the secret is because one day at a time does two things that fixes everything else. Did you hear what I said? Live one day at a time. One day at a time. That, if you will do that, doing that will do two other things that'll take care of everything else. And that's why it's the secret. Now, what are they? Two things. Number one, living one day at a time. Living one day at a time keeps the future where it belongs. Do you understand that? It keeps the future where it belongs. If you spend your today, you will ruin your today if you spend your today worrying about the future. You will ruin your today if you spend your today worrying about the future. I'm going to prove that to you. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah goes up on top of Mount Carmel. He's a one-man gang. I mean, he is the man. The prophet goes up there, and by the help of God, he destroys hundreds of prophets of Baal. He destroys hundreds of prophets of Asher. I mean, he gives victory and wipes out all the idols. When he gets done, Jezebel, now who was Jezebel? Jezebel was the queen. Jezebel was the queen who married King Ahab. Jezebel was from Phoenicia. The chief god in Phoenicia was Baal and Asher. When Jezebel left Phoenicia and came over to Israel and married King Ahab, she brought her religion with it, and she forced that religion and idolatry on all of the people, and now all of the people are engaged in this idolatry. But here is Elijah. Just, he wiped out everybody. He wiped out everybody. And Jezebel then says, you tell that prophet in 24 hours he is a dead man. You know what he did? He climbed underneath a tree and begged God to kill him. Are you serious? Listen, you just single-handedly, by the grace of God, destroyed almost 1,000 false prophets, and now you got yourself all in a knot because of this? Tell him tomorrow he's a dead man, and now he's begging God to kill him. Here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see. At the time that the prophet should have been savoring his victory, at the time that the prophet should have been praising God for what God had done through him, at the exact time that he should have been savoring his victory, this prophet is wallowing in depression. Why? He's worried about the future. Many of you, you are worrying away the greatest years of your life because you're trying to live all of your life in a single day. So instead of enjoying the blessings that God has given you today. Do you know that God has blessed you today? You got up out of bed. You got yourself dressed. You got yourself together. You sitting here. Look, you sharp. You look good. For you, but you look good. You did this by the grace of God. And so instead of just enjoying the blessings that God has given you today, you're going to instead worry about the possibility of maybe somehow something is going to be wrong tomorrow. Whatever happened? Whatever happened to just saying, God, I'm gonna enjoy what you've given me today. One day at a time. One day at a time. That's the secret. That's the key. One day at a time keeps the future where it belongs. The future belongs out there, not up in your face today. One day at a time. Now, everybody here can relate to this. Monday morning, a mother gets up with her son. She has a son. Because boys are sugar and spice and everything nice. And the mother... The mother takes the boy's book bag, backpack, and she sets it up on the table. Monday morning, she packs the boy's lunch for Monday, one day, and puts it in the book bag. Okay, he has this class and this class on Monday. So she takes this book, the book he needs today, and puts it in the book bag. And she zips the book bag up. And the boy begins to object. Well, now wait, Mama. Mama, what if I'm hungry tomorrow? So the boy makes all kind of lunches and dumps them in the book bag, the backpack. And Mom, now tomorrow I have this class, and Wednesday this one, and Thursday I have this one and this one. So he takes all of it, and he puts it down in the book bag, the backpack. What happens? The backpack becomes so heavy, it becomes so burdensome that the boy can't carry it. Is anybody listening? We take today's backpack. All right, well, here's what I, today. So I got today in there. This is what I got right here. This is what it is today. Well, but now Tuesday, we're going to put that in here. Oh, Lord, Saturday, I got to go see. Okay, we're going to take that and we're going to put that in there. What is happening? We are allowing our today to become so heavy and to become so burdensome that we try to live today and it breaks us down. Why? Because we're not living one day at a time. One day at a time. Number two. One day at a time. I'm telling you, it's a secret. That's it. Forget everything else. Do not worry about tomorrow. One day at a time. Why? Because living just today keeps the future where it belongs. The second thing it does that solves everything else is that it keeps today manageable. Did you hear me? I'm living one day at a time. That's going to keep the future where it belongs. I'm going to live one day at a time, and that's going to keep the present manageable. Very quickly, I want you to turn to John chapter 16, and I'm going to finish. But I want you to turn to John chapter 16. This is a statement that Jesus made to the apostles. He has already explained to them that he's leaving them. They're devastated by this. Their hearts are troubled. Their hearts are broke. They don't know how in the world. What are we going to do? And Jesus makes this statement, and he's straight up with them about this. John 16, the last verse, verse 33. John tells those men, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Listen to what he tells them. In this world you will have trouble. Brethren, listen to me. In this life, we are going to have trouble. In this life, we are going to have problems. In this life, we are going to shed tears. In this life, there are times when we're going to be devastated. Listen to me, please listen to me. The question this morning is not, are you going to have trouble or not? The question this morning is not, will you have trouble and heartbreak or not? That's not the question. The question this morning is that when trouble and heartbreak and tears and when hurt comes, how are you going to deal with these things? And the answer to that question is you deal with it one day at a time. One day at a time. You know something? I can handle my life. I can handle my situation if I will do it one day at a time. So can you. So can you. That don't mean the day is perfect, but you can deal with it. Listen, I don't feel good right now, but I feel a whole lot better than I did a week ago. So I'm going to thank God I feel better today. This and I'm done. I know I said that a minute ago, but I was lying there. I lied just to keep you listening again. One of the quickest ways to get down. One of the quickest ways to get down is to take all your tomorrows and all your yesterdays and try to pile them into today and get by. Listen, one day at a time is the whole principle behind Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the whole principle. Listen, don't worry about not taking a drink tomorrow. Just don't take a drink today. Just don't take a drink today. Well, now Saturday, I'm going to, look, no, today. Just get by today. There is no tomorrow. It's here today. That's the whole principle behind trying getting people to stop smoking. Look, don't worry about it. Just don't smoke today. Well, but what about when I'm out with other people? No, just today. Live one day at a time. Years ago, there was a farmer, and attached to his farm, he had 2 acres of land. So he wanted to build a fence around his land. So he hired this guy to come out and build a fence. And the farmer went out and told the guy, he says, now look, here's a post hole digger, and there's a post. Dig the hole, drop the post. But he said, I want you to go all the way down, all the way across, all the way back around my farm. The guy worked one day and he quit. So he hired another guy. A second guy comes, build his fence. Farmer went out, told him the same thing. He said, take this post, dig the hole, drop posts in it. But he said, I want this fence to go all the way down and all the way across and all the way back up. It's like 2 acres. Guy worked one day and he quit. So the farmer says, well, I'm gonna approach the third guy different. So he went out to the third guy and he says, listen, this is the only thing I want you to do. I want you to take that post hole, I want you to dig one hole, and I want you to drop that one post in it. Then I want you to measure out 12 feet and just dig one hole and drop that post in it. And he said, just dig the one hole and drop the one post until I tell you to stop. That's the guy that built the fence. You know why he did it? One pole at a time. He scared the life out of the first two guys. Listen, we can live our lives dropping one post at a time. Woo! That's good. Amen. Forget about the 2 acres you got to dig holes for. Just dig today's. Drop that post today and say, glory to God, I was able to dig this hole, drop this post today. God will allow you to do what God wants you to do for him if you'll do it one day at a time. And here's the secret. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough trouble in each day without you reaching out there and borrowing some of it. One day at a time. One day at a time. And God will bless all of us. If you're here this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, come right now while together we stand and while we sing.